There's a message that God has for us through current events, that if we only take the time to go through His Word, He talks about what we're experiencing now, believe it or not. So we go to God in prayer at this time. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to You this morning. We need to be fed on Your Word. We ask for the presence of Your Holy Spirit. Give me thoughts and words to speak, for You have a message for us today. In Jesus' name, amen. In the book of Revelation, chapter 14, verse 12, it says, "Here is the patience of the saints, they that are keep the commandments of God and have the faith of Jesus." That's part one of the sermon this morning. The faith of Jesus and pestilence. What we've been going through the last year. And in Revelation 19, verse 10, it explains what the faith of Jesus is. It's the testimony of Jesus, is the spirit of prophecy. In Daniel chapter 1, we find that there's a health crisis. And in Daniel chapter 3, we find there's a worship crisis. Let's open our Bibles to Genesis chapter 3, verse 7. Genesis 3, verse 7. "And the eyes of them were both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together, and they made themselves aprons." The key word in this verse that we're going to expound on is aprons. In the Hebrew, aprons is a belt around the waist, a girdle, from the waist down to the thighs. Then in the same chapter, Genesis chapter 3, verse 21, a little bit over that, it says, "Unto Adam and also to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothe them." The word that we're going to expound on here is coats. In the Hebrew, coats means to cover, a garment, to cover the shoulder on down, an outer garment worn outdoors, having sleeves extending below the hips. When man tries to cover sin, it is incomplete, inadequate. When man addresses an issue without God, it is always insufficient. Unattended side effects can occur even through benevolent institutions. We'll go to Genesis chapter 6, verse 4. "There were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God came unto the daughters of men, they bare children to them, and the same became mighty men, which were old men of renown." There's two words in this verse that we're going to expound on: giants and men of renown. Giants, we always refer to as tall in stature. But there's a second meaning. It also means bullies, tyrants, oppressors. Men of renown, men of honor, worldly honor, authority, and title. People trust men in authority, presidents, health officials, doctors, among a few. Deuteronomy chapter 2, let's go there. Deuteronomy chapter 2. Verses 20 and 21. In the King James, there's one. The first one is in a parentheses there. That also was accounted a land of giants. Giants dwelt therein in the old time, and the Ammonites called them Zanzumans. A people great and many and tall as the Ankans, but the Lord destroyed them all. God is a giant slayer. Zanzumans. In the Hebrew, it describes a Zanzuman as a plotter. The modern definition is secret planning of something illicit or detrimental. To plan, usually in the bad sense. To consider, a device to imagine, to plot and think evil. Intrigue, make secret plans to do something illicit or detrimental to someone. So to kind of summarize, we have aprons and coats. We come from Genesis. Man is incomplete and insufficient and inadequate with what he provides for himself. Giants and men of renown and Zanzumans, the giants that plotted. God's people are putting their trust in Zanzumans right now. We are not to base our decisions on health on biased mandates. When you witness an alternative side, natural remedies, as is in vitamin D and vitamin C, zinc, all that information is being stiffly suppressed. And there is an issue about this that's going on. Why are those issues being suppressed? As in the days of Noah, so it will be in the days of the end. The deniers of the worldwide flood, that was a climate crisis back then. And we have a crisis today. And it may even be somewhat of a climate crisis. Revelation 18, 23 to 24 says, "And light a candle and shine no more at all in thee, and the voice of the bridegroom and the bride shall be heard no more at all for thee, thy merchants and the great men of the earth. For by thy sorceries are all nations deceived. And in her was found the blood of the prophets and of the saints and all who were slain upon the earth." Key words, merchants. Great men of the earth. Great, in other words, the giants, the men of renown, and Zanzumans. Great men of the earth, the lords, magnates, what we might call today prime ministers, rulers, presidents. A magnate is a worldly and influential person especially in business. Do we know any magnates on the earth today? Bill Gates is for one. The man that speaks for the Worldwide Economic Forum. Klaus Schwab. And there are many more. Sorcery, taken from that verse, is pharmakia, which is a medication or pharmacy. And the definition says it's magic, literal or figurative, witchcraft. In Revelation 21, verse 8, it says, "But the fearful and unbelieving, the abominable and the murderers, and the whoremongers, and the sorcerers, and the idolaters, and all the liars shall have their part in the lake of fire, which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." So taking out of that verse is sorcerers. Pharmakia, a drug, that is spell-giving potion, a druggist, a pharmacist, a poisoner, that is, by extension, a magician. In Jeremiah 17, verse 5, "Thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusts in man and makes flesh his own, and whose heart departs from the Lord." We have been ignoring the testimony of Jesus, the spirit of prophecy, wholesale in these last days. In Genesis chapter 7, verse 2, it talks about clean and unclean animals. Clean, the definition of clean, is pure. On the chemical sense, on the physical sense, on the ceremonial sense, and on the moral sense. And here we're going to key in on the chemical purity, the DNA. In the spirit of prophecy, it talks about the number one reason why God brought destruction upon the earth was amalgamation, the defacing of God's image, man taking and destroying his image in other things. Amalgamation means to combine into a uniform whole, to fuse, to consolidate a vision of different things, a union of different things, I should say. And that is what we're witnessing today, is an amalgamation going on. The mRNA is an experimental genetic manipulation into our DNA. It is not a vaccine by the strictest sense of the word. The mRNA deactivates, cancels out the immune system, makes it almost defenseless, causes confusion to the natural immune system. And that was from Walter Veith, What's Up, Prof., episode number 59. The RNA gene therapy has never been before tested in humans. It is only brought through emergency use authorization. Shots don't provide immunity against COVID-19. They do not meet the CDC's term of definition of a vaccine, even though it's sold to us as a vaccine. It is called a vaccine because of deceptive marketing for fast adoption to the populace of the earth. Vaccines have been around for a long time, even in Ellen White's day. And in Health Reformer, November 1st, 1869, she was talking about the evils of vaccination. And I was trying to pull that off the internet, and I even went to the Ellen White estate, and even this morning I was trying. And it's 2 pages long, pages 85 and 86, if I remember. We're not to put anything into our bodies that we don't know that is pure. Because we do not know on a vaccine that usually it comes from an animal or comes from a human. We do not know if those sources are disease-free. Under the vaccine label, the manufacturers are not liable for vaccine-related injuries or deaths. So that's why they call it a vaccine, one of them. The other reason is when a person thinks of a vaccine, well, we've taken vaccines all of our life, smallpox, measles, polio, whatever. But those are a whole lot different than what we have today. U.S. law provides immunity to pharmaceutical companies. Can you believe that? That was passed, I think, back in the either 80s or 90s, that they have no one can come directly back to a pharmaceutical company and sue them for damages. This is the best definition of SARS-CoV-2 that I've come across. It is a viral trigger that magnifies and exacerbates pre-existing chronic disease and comorbidities such as obesity, diabetes, cancer, hypertension, dementia, heart, liver, kidney, and lung diseases. In Michigan, back in mid-April of this year, they had reported 254 cases of COVID, people fully vaccinated. 74 of them died. That's 29.1% mortality rate of the 254. We can't ignore this, but the officials will. Now they're even wanting young children as young as 2 years old to wear masks. The governor has dictated. There is another one from April 1st of this year from the Vaccine Adverse Event Reporting that's out there. 56,869 adverse effects following COVID vaccination, including 7,971 serious injuries. They were serious enough for people who had to quit work. Of that, there were 2,342 deaths. A death rate of 28% occurred within 48 hours of vaccination. The youngest was 18. In 2009, a virus killed thousands. 80% of those were vaccinated. In 2019, tuberculosis killed 1.5 million people, but there were no lockdowns then. No extinguishing of independent small businesses. The giants, the men of renown, the Zanzumans say, wear face masks. There was a doctor on YouTube, Dr. Ted Neal. He took three different masks, of different sorts. And he had a vape, one of those vape machines, or I call it an electronic cigarette. And he sucked into that smoke, and he blew out after he put his mask down. In all three instances, the smoke came through. Now, the N95 mask, which is supposed to be the gold standard of all the masks, will take down anything from down to a 0.3 microns. But a virus is 0.06 to 0.14. There is no way a mask can stop a virus. Physically impossible. The only way you can eliminate a virus is to put on an astronaut suit and have your own safe, self-contained oxygen system within it. This is from a ex-OSHA official, which is another government agency. Say surgical masks are useless to stop COVID from spreading because the virus is too small. They're made to stop large sputum while operating to protect patients from contaminating on open incisions during surgery. They also say to stop any virus, there has to be a full head covering, properly adjusted, so no open area is allowed for air to come in or air to go out. And again, just picture an astronaut on a spacewalk, fully contained. A bit of history. This comes from Ecclesiastes 1:9. And that verse says, "The thing that hath been is that which shall be, that which is done, that which shall be done. There is no new thing under the sun." Arabs, 2,300 years ago, forced people to wear masks covering their faces and nose. The reason they did it was to break their will and individuality and depersonalize them. It made them submissive. That's why they impose on every woman the mandatory use of fabric over her face, even today, in some Arab sects. Even Pope Francis honed on in that, and he was saying individualism is a virus. We're not to have independent thought. We're to conform to what the men of renown, the Zanzumans and the giants say. This is a quote from David Rockefeller, a man of renown, international banker. "The present window of opportunity during which truly peaceful and independent world order might be dealt will not be too long. We are on the verge of a global transformation. All we need is the right major crisis, and the nations will receive the new world order." Do you know when he said that? Speaking at the UN on September 14th, 1994. This has been planned for a long time. A Zanzuman speaks. Bill Gates. I seen the video myself and I heard the words coming right out of his mouth. "There will be another pandemic greater than this one." So you can bet your boots we're going to go through this again. A giant speaks. The World Bank COVID preparedness program opened on April 2nd, 2020. Do you know when it closes? March 31st, 2025. They're not going to let this thing go. And I've taken that from What's Up, Prof, episode number 52 from Walter Vyth. This is from a good guy, Albert Camus. The welfare of humanity is always the alibi of tyrants. I'll say that again. The welfare of humanity is always the alibi of tyrants. Of all the governments, the governors that come out and say, well, we just can't have, we have to have lockdowns because we just can't take the stress on our hospitals and the people. But they do a propaganda program to instill fear to where it's can't run away from it. Now, we come to the faith of Jesus, the testimony of Jesus and the spirit of prophecy. What's his prophet say to us? What's God's voice, Jesus, say to us about these things? From Adventist Home 272 and 273, the lungs should be allowed the greatest freedom possible. When an insufficient supply of oxygen is received, the blood moves sluggishly. The waste, the poisonous matter, which should be thrown off in exhalations from the lungs, is retained and the blood becomes impure. Not only the lungs, but the stomach, the liver, the brain are affected. The skin becomes sallow, digestion is retarded, the heart is depressed, the brain is clouded, the thoughts are confused, and gloomy settles upon the spirits. The whole system becomes depressed and inactive, and particularly susceptible to disease. The lungs are constantly throwing off impurities and they need to be constantly supplied with fresh air. Impure air does not afford the necessary supply of oxygen. The blood passes to the brain and other organs without being vitalized. The influence of fresh air is to cause the blood to circulate healthfully through the system. In Counsels to Health, pages 61 and 62, the impurities of the body, if not allowed to escape, are taken back into the blood and forced upon the vital organs. Air must be constant circulation to be kept pure. In order to have good blood, we must breathe well. The lungs, in order to be healthy, must have pure air. Now, back in the pandemic, a real one, Spanish flu, 1918. There was an article that I came across. Adventists beat the Spanish flu in 1918. In this, it was talking, when the flu had been contained, there was 10 different Adventist sanitariums gathered their data over 1,000 people. Of these, about 670 were outpatients who went home to treat themselves, and 450 that were inpatients at the sanitarium. Do you know what their mortality rate was? These who were outpatients and self-treated, the mortality rate was 4%. For inpatients, the mortality rate was less than 1%. Considering the mortality rates for those who infected worldwide was between 10 and 20%. Big difference. That's the difference of God says the true remedies are pure air, pure water, abstemious, nutrition, and there's a few others I'm not bringing to memory right now. One worker recalled that they were so successful in treating the flu that they knew that if the patients were standing, when they made it to the sanitarium, they would be able to save their lives. You know how they did it? Hot and cold fomentations through the chest. You know what happens when you do a hot and cold fomentation? You get circulation moving. So you're getting the blood circulating. It's throwing off the disease matter. It's bringing in oxygen for rapid healing. In Matthew 24, it says, there shall be famines and pestilence and earthquakes in divers places. All these things are the beginning of sorrows. According to the Bible, these disasters will become more and more frequent and more disastrous. I was going to go back on a note here. Okay. There's another item that it's not widely published, but this comes from Dr. Stephanie Seneff. You have heard of all about GMOs, genetically modified foods. They've been out since the 90s. The vast majority of our livestock are fed GMO foods. Chickens, cattle are the basic ones, hogs. But glyphosate is the active ingredient in this. And glyphosate is a chelator. And what a chelator is just like Bob Damon grabbing a small baby and not letting go. That's what a chelator's job is to do. It's to take nutrients like calcium, zinc, and that, and bind them. And that's one reason why the weeds die, is because when it's sprayed with glyphosate, it ties up all the trace minerals. So there's no self-defense, there's no immune system to the plant, which is even a weed, and it dies. Well, we eat glyphosate through our food. Even if you're a vegan, you can be contaminated with glyphosate. Because they use glyphosate so widely because it makes the farmer's life so much easier. They can use one herbicide and it just about wipes out anything that's not genetically modified. And the landlords look over the fields and they say they're mighty clean. But what the glyphosate does, in a simple term, because she gets into really heavy scientific stuff real fast in her dissertation, it ties up glycine, which is an amino acid in our body, which poisons your body's machinery for creating protein. And what from she's and the reports that she had come across, that it may pour an important cases of severe COVID-19. If you have accumulated a lot of glyphosate in your tissues, your immune cells will be impaired, making it difficult to clear the virus. God in his wisdom had given us the spirit of prophecy in these last days, that we're to give up meat eating, basically, and not even consume the products, the byproducts of them, like butter, cheese, whatever. Because he knew in our day, that things will be so toxic and so poison that we don't need to be making our bloodstream so intense. Even wheat, that is at this point in time, it's not genetically modified. They've tried it, but it's not out there yet. If you don't buy what's labeled organic, you're going to get glyphosate in that pasta, spaghetti, or whatever you're making out of wheat products, even your bread. It's got to be organic. So, the spirit of prophecy speaks to us this morning of our welfare, because our physical health has a lot to do with our mental health. And we're going to go through times of extreme stress in the days ahead. The question is, do we follow the advice of the giants, the men of renown, or the Zanzumans? Or we go by God's counsel? That's my question.